Good evening. If you would open your Bibles back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This evening, I have a question. I have a question that is of the utmost importance. A question that I struggle to express how important this question is. So I'll just say that the question is a matter of life or death. There is not a more important question that we can ask. And normally, I like to use inclusive pronouns such as we and us and speak together. But tonight, I'm going to use the word I in the question. And in doing so, when I ask this question, when I say it out loud, I want you to say this question to yourself. It comes from verse 14 of John 10. This verse says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The question is, am I one of the Lord's sheep? Am I one of the Lord's sheep? I want us all to consider that question. I want everyone who's heard that question so many times, who's been hearing this gospel and reading this book for decade after decade, to those in this room right now that have been listening for less than a year. We must ask the question, am I one of the Lord's sheep? Let me give you a few answers that I have answered with this question over the last 30 or so years. When I ask myself, am I one of the Lord's sheep? I have answered that at times, no, there is no way I am one of the Lord's sheep. At other times, I've answered that question and I've said yes. Maybe by faith. Often I believe I've answered yes out of arrogance or pride. But most of the time when I ask the question, am I one of the Lord's sheep? I'm somewhere in between the two answers. Oftentimes, I fall in the vague area of maybe, or so often my answer is I have my doubts. Now, why do I have my doubts that I'm one of the Lord's sheep? Well, I can start with my worthiness to be one of His sheep. I am positive that I am not worthy to be a sheep of the true shepherd. Positive. No doubt about it. I have my doubts because I don't have any ability to be one of His sheep. I can't do anything. I can't present anything. I can't hang my hat on something to say that is why I could be one of His sheep. I doubt often that I'm one of His sheep because of my faith or lack thereof. I often doubt because of my unbelief in Him. I could go on and give reasons of why I have my doubts and why I can't confidently answer that question, am I one of the Lord's sheep? And everything I have just said here, all of these are problems that I have with myself. They're all problems that I think most of you would probably agree. These are all doubts that I have with me. Now, many years ago, I decided, when I lived in Lexington and attended church there at Todd's Road Grace Church, and the pastor was Todd Nybert, I decided one evening that I wanted to go to him and ask him to be baptized. So I determined I'm going to go tomorrow and ask him. So at some point the next day, I got in my car and decided to drive over and ask him if I could be baptized. Well, I never made it to the church. And at some point, a few days or whenever it was later, I said, I've got to go over there and ask him. And I didn't make it over to the church. And that happened a few times. until finally one day I told myself I'm going to go ask to be baptized, and I got to the church and pulled into the parking lot, backed out, and drove away. That progressed as at some point I made it into the parking lot. At some point I got there and even opened my door and started to get out and shut the door and left. And this went on for over a year. At one point, I got as far as I went into the church, into Todd's study, talked for a second, and he then said to me, "What brings you over here this afternoon?" To which, in my panic, I said, "I just wanted to talk about Kentucky basketball with you." I did all of that because I kept making the same mistake. When trying to figure out if I wanted to be baptized, or if I needed to be baptized, or however you want to phrase that, I kept having so many doubts about myself. And at one point, I don't know how it happened, I realized that all of my doubts are about me and not about him. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is a worthy sacrifice. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to the end. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ loves his sheep. And when I look at it that way, it's totally different. Our focus is on the wrong part of this question. When I said, "I want you to think about, am I one of the Lord's sheep?" We focus on the I in that question. We see what we can do, how we are involved, what part we play. And this is false religion's great ruse, their great trick. Make salvation about our favorite topic, ourselves. Make salvation about us. If you want to make me happy when you see me, talk about me. That's what I love. And false religion has realized this. So they like to give us the decision. They like to tell us that we get to make a choice. They do anything to take our eyes off Christ, take our eyes off the shepherd. The key to this question, as with anything, is the Lord. Am I one of the Lord's sheep? I told you to ask the question, but I didn't say to ask yourself the question. Would you go to the hospital, to the newborn nursery, and would you go into the nursery and ask one of those newborn babies, "Who's your father?" You'd be there forever. That baby doesn't even know who its father is. Instead, you go to the father and you ask him who their child is. They are happy to talk about their child. They are the one who is standing over their child. They're watching over their child. They love their child. We must go to the Lord to see if we are one of his sheep, to see if we're one of his children. And I understand that sounds odd. And I get that the Lord doesn't answer us audibly with those things. I get that every time I pray to him, every time I ask something, I don't just get this obvious answer. But we must ask this question. We must go to him and ask him this question. Look with me here in verse 3. I talked about how I have my doubts. This passage is a very popular one. And for some reason, some of the things that stick out are these. In verse 3, it says that his sheep hear his voice. In verse 4, it says the sheep follow him. In verse 5, it says, a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from that stranger. And then in verse 14, it says, the sheep know the shepherd. I have doubts because I don't feel like that's me. I don't feel like I hear his voice. Now, it's easy to say that, but I try to think with my children when they say, "I heard you." Well, the evidence of you hearing me is doing what I say. Well, I don't do what the Lord says, so how can I say I hear him? When it says the sheep follow him, I don't follow him. There is so much advice, so much in this book that tells me what to do, and I don't do any of it. When it says a stranger will they not follow, They'll flee from them. I sure don't flee from the things of this world. I just follow right with it. But the key to this, again, is looking at what the Lord has done. Look in verse 3 with me real quick here. And I said out loud that the sheep hear his voice. But in verse 3 it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The sheep hear his voice because he calls them. You can't hear someone unless they have called you. The call comes before the hearing. Look in verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The sheep follow because he putteth them forth. He goeth before them. Verse 5, it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Everything it says, the Lord has done before. All these things we want to doubt about, we don't hear, we don't follow, all that. That's because he has done the thing first. We don't do something and then he does it. He calls us and that's when we hear. He leads us. He takes us. That's why we follow. Now, I want to take a couple minutes and just go through a few more verses here and look at this passage. Look at verse 14 with me. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Looking through these verses, we'll see the things that make it so wonderful about our shepherd. It says here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. It is so amazing that our God is good. He is obviously all-powerful. He can do anything he wants. But that he is also good to his sheep is such a comfort. There are so many with power. If your absolute power absolutely corrupts, anyone who gets power, we abuse it. We were never good. But our God is the good shepherd. He is worthy to be our shepherd. Verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is what a true shepherd is, that he lays down his life for the sheep. A shepherd is often thought of someone who just takes care of the sheep. But a true shepherd is one that sacrifices his life for the sheep. He does what is necessary for the sheep to have life. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Our Lord is faithful to the end, every last sheep. We read in the Bible of the shepherd who, when he loses one of 100, and he goes to save that one, and he celebrates that one. I don't know if I'm the only one. When I was a kid and I heard the story of a shepherd had 100 sheep, and when one left, he left the 99 and went after the one. I don't know if I'm the only one, but the first thing I thought was, I wouldn't do that. I'm going to go get the one, and when I come back, I've got 90. How can I take care of the other 99? Our Lord takes care of his sheep, all of them, at all times. Just because it says in that the shepherd goes after the one, he still has the other 99. Our Lord, through time, will save every single one of the sheep that has been called. Every single one. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. That is true love, that he lays down his life for his sheep. His sacrifice for his sheep. The sheep was going to die. The sheep deserved eternal death. But the shepherd stepped in and laid down his life for the sheep. And then, to show who he is, he laid down his life that I might take it again. Not just that he gave his life for his sheep, but that in his power, his authority, and his success, his conquer over sin, he took it again. Look at verse 18. And no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. The Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was something that he did himself. He laid down his life. And it had to be that way. This was not something that he was taken and he was killed. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his sheep. He was a willing sacrifice. It's not just that he was able to do it, but he was willing to do it. He wanted to do it because he loved his sheep. He loved them. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He did it because of what his Father commanded him to do. Look at verse 19. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. After all that we've read, their question comes, If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered in verse 25, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord Jesus Christ chose a people. The shepherd chose his sheep. And those are the ones that hear him. They didn't hear because they weren't of his flock. They weren't of his sheep. Verse 28, And I give unto them eternal life. What a reward. Because we did absolutely nothing right. We did nothing but sin. Our reward because of our good shepherd is eternal life. We get everything. Everything. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It is so amazing to read that the Lord gives his sheep eternal life. But it is also so comforting that he immediately follows that with, Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. I've been given a lot of things in my life, and I haven't been able to hold on to them. The statement that no one can take us out of his hands. He gave his sheep eternal life. He gave them protection. He gave them everything they needed, and no one can take that from them. Once it's given, it is forever. Verse 29, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. All of this, and look what the response was in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That is our response by nature. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the shepherd that takes care of my sheep. I will watch over them. I will protect them. I will die for them. I will save them. I will give them eternal life, and that's forever. No one can change that. And the response is, we have to kill this. That's the response from anyone who has not heard his voice. That is the response of anyone that doesn't follow him. But let me say this. You can't hear his voice if he didn't call you. You can't follow him unless he leads you, unless he takes you. We can't get any credit for any of that. We get lost on the wrong thing. We see the sheep hear his voice, the sheep follow him, but that's not it. There's a song, Be Thou My Vision, that I heard someone sing a special not that long ago. And in that song it says, he's the only thing in my heart. And later it says, heart of my heart, whatever befall. One day, the only thing that will be in our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. After reading all of this and thinking of the question, am I one of the Lord's sheep? If I'm one of his sheep, could there possibly be anything else worthy of my love, worthy of a thought in my mind? One day, when we're not in this body of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the only thing we see. We won't see anything else apart from him. Everything we do will be with him. And that's because he is worthy of our praise. He is due our love. He is faithful no matter what. The gospel is the truth no matter what. Now, when I asked that question earlier and I gave you a few answers, when I said, am I one of the Lord's sheep? And I told you that I said, no, I doubt it, maybe, yes, all those things. It would seem on the surface that those answers would be in a linear pattern, meaning that when I was young, the answer was no. And as I learned a little bit, I thought, I don't know. And I got a little older and went to church a few more times, and then I started to say, maybe. And now as I'm old and mature, the answer is yes. But that's not it. That's not how those answers work. There are times when I ask myself, am I one of the Lord's sheep? In a certain moment, through his faith, I think to myself, yes, I am. And it is amazing. But in that very next moment, I'm back to the thought of there's no way. There's no way. I look to myself and I think there's just no way I'm one of his sheep. So I've asked you that question over and over again. And I hope you've given it thought. Now, I remember being asked that question or hearing that question. Another way to say it is, when I say, am I one of the Lord's sheep? Another way to say it is, am I saved? And I remember hearing that question as a young person. And you know that sometimes my response was, I don't care. I don't want to think about it. We have to think about it. We have to ask that question. It's that important. We must ask it. But I've just told you that we can't answer the question. We must ask him. And not only can we not answer it, nobody else can answer it for you. My parents can't tell me. My grandparents can't tell me. My wife can't tell me. My pastor can't tell me. Nobody can answer that question. We don't have a clue. How often have we been wrong? A couple quick examples. Did anybody think when they would do the first time read the story of all the followers following the Lord, and then he talked to them and preached to them, and they thought, this is tough. I don't want to hear this. And everybody left but 12. 12 people stayed, and they said, we don't have anywhere else to go. We want to be with you. Did you immediately think to yourself, I bet one of them doesn't really believe? What about when the Lord was being crucified and there's two thieves on his side railing on him, yelling at him, making fun of him? Did you first think to yourself, I bet one of those is saved? We have no idea. We can't answer that question for anyone else, and we can't answer it for ourselves. But let me give you a different question, and I want you to turn with me to John 21. John chapter 21. This is after the Lord has risen, and the Lord has come to Peter. Now, the last thing that happened with Peter, with our Lord, was he told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter then denied him 3 times. Just more aggressive each time, denying the Lord. I don't know who he is. I'm not with him. All those kind of things. And in this verse 15 of John 21, let's look at the interaction. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord said unto him, feed my lambs. Then again he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter answered, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord said unto him, Feed my sheep. And the Lord said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Peter here is a great example of us. And the reason this is so applicable when I say it in a second is because all these doubts we talk about, all these things I've said about not being worthy, not being able, all those things, Peter just established he fit all of that. Peter just denied the Lord and did all those things, all the things I was talking about earlier. Am I worthy to be one of his sheep? Do I have the ability? Do I have faith? Do I have belief? All those things, Peter established no, absolutely not. He doesn't have those things. The Lord came to him and asked him one question. He said, Do you love me? Do you love me? From this, we have to ask ourselves, not ask ourselves, we have to think upon that question. Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? In this question, at the end, Peter finally said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. When we think, and I'm almost done here, when we think for a moment, do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? That is a very tough question to answer. When I look at myself and struggle with all these same questions, I have always struggled to say the phrase, I love the Lord. And not in the way of telling you or saying that phrase, but to say it to myself in my own mind, to say, I love you, Lord, because that's a hard statement to say. I don't have the tangible, I can't see him with my eyes. I can't talk with him. I can't hear him in all the ways that we relate to a relationship, to someone loving us. It's the way they look at us. It's the way they talk to us, the way they act in front of us, all those things we see. In a way, I had always thought of it almost in this odd way of someone saying at like a family reunion you didn't know that comes up and says, I love you. And you can see that they mean it, but you don't really, you've never met them in person. And it's really hard to look back at them and say, I love you and mean it. If you ask that question, if you just walked out on the street in the middle of the day and you walked up to strangers and you just said, do you love the Lord? I would say you're going to get a very high percentage of people who are going to say yes. And let me use, we've been going through Daniel, let me use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as an example for this, and the order from Nebuchadnezzar of once the music plays, everyone bows down. There are a lot of people who bow down because that's what they thought they should do. That's what everyone else was doing. That's the common thing to do. In the way that people say, yes, I love the Lord, because that's what they think they should say. Some people bow down at the music because of the benefits of the reward of being associated and agreeing with the king. People say they love the Lord because of what they think they might get if they say that. Then other people, when the music was played, bow down because of the power, the authority, and the judgment that King Nebuchadnezzar had. There have been a lot of people over the years who have bowed to a king they hated because they were scared of them. Many people say they love the Lord or give this response because they think or know that he has the judgment in his hands, that he can condemn and he can save. But those people that bow down, they didn't even know who the true king was. They were bowing to Nebuchadnezzar because they didn't know the true king. People say, and I hope it's not me, that I love the Lord and I'm talking about someone else, that I don't know him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the king. They did that because the Lord had made himself known to them. They were no different than the other people apart from the call that they had received, apart from the Lord speaking to them, apart from him leading him. That's where it comes from. So let me give just a couple quick things about how we can answer, do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? First and foremost, do we love it that the Lord Jesus Christ gets all the glory? Are we okay with when the topic of salvation comes up, we're totally taken out of it? Then when we say salvation is of the Lord, we mean it's all of the Lord. In the choosing and the executing and the fulfillment, all of it, it is him. And he gets the glory. Are we okay with thinking that we will get no attention for the rest? We will get no glory for the rest of our lives, for all of eternity. Are we okay that he gets all the glory? That says that we love him. Are we okay that the Lord is just in all his ways? Do we believe that whatever happens is okay? That whatever his will is, that's what's right? Are we okay? I'm using that wrong. Do we believe and do we love, do we rest in the fact that if the Lord Jesus Christ save me, I will be saved? And if he didn't, that's okay because he's God and I wouldn't be saved otherwise. I'm totally dependent upon him choosing me and saving me. And is he the only hope for salvation? When I think of these topics, when I think of am I one of the Lord's sheep, when I think of eternal life, is the only hope that I have one person? Is it all in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is everything in him? I don't think of anything else. When I ask the question, am I saved? It all comes back to only if he saved me, if it's all of him. And let me close with one so important fact, something that I hope's evident, and it goes along with all the things that we saw in John 14, of we follow him because he leads us. We know his voice because he called us, all those things. The only reason that anyone could love the Lord Jesus Christ is because he loved them first. When we're asking, do we love the Lord? It's the same thing of, am I one of the Lord's sheep? It's not the I, it's the Lord, it's him. Only way I love him is because he loved me. We so often try to find evidence, earthly evidence of things that would be a reason or evidence that we are saved. But that just doesn't exist. The only evidence of a person being saved is what the Lord has done. He is everything. We often think of how often I go to church. Church attendance has no bearing on salvation, but if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're desperate to go hear about him. Baptism is something that so many people rest in, but baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and he is your only hope for salvation, you want to be baptized so that everyone knows that's what you believe. All of those things, everything, is all because the Lord Jesus Christ first loved me. And I need to end this, but I feel like I need to just say it one more time. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord. I use the word I. I need the Lord to save me. If I'm going to love him, it's because I need him to love me. We love him because he first loved us.